I'll introduce our speaker here. I'm Pastor Bill Francis, if you are visiting. And we are blessed to have Lance with us. I met Lance about a year, I don't know, when did you call me? Maybe a year and a half ago? About a year ago. Got this call from this random guy. Ask him random things about our area. And he said he couldn't tell me what he was going to do, but I'm not taking your job. That's what he said. I thought it was a plant from one of you, you know, from the board, from Mike or something. But what was the case was he was applying for a job as a chaplain here. And about 2 years ago, we heard from Harold Albert. I don't know if you remember that, but Harold is runs what's called Bay Area Chaplains, and maybe Lance will explain what that is a little bit more. But basically, he and Harold are the chaplains for the Contra Costa jails. Three facilities, you can tell us more about that. But it's been a joy to get to know Lance. He and his family have moved to this area from Merced? Is that right? I knew it started with an M. I was going to say Modesto, maybe. Well, Lance, why don't you come, and we are just excited to hear from you. Let me pray for you as you begin. Father, we just thank you for Lance and for the work that you are doing through him and will continue to do. And we just ask your blessing on him and his family as they move. They've just recently moved to this area and that transition for them, Lord, and just guide his message today as he speaks from your word. We pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
It was just about 6 months ago when I started here in the area as your county jail chaplain here for your three county jails in Contra Costa County. I grew up in the Christian Churches and Churches of Christ, educated at Nebraska Christian College, pastored the Christian Church in Madera, Bandon, Oregon, and started in Ewing, Nebraska. So I'm a good old Christian church kind of a guy. I think it's very cool that the local chaplains called a Christian church got to come be a chaplain here in the area. So I'm looking forward to working with you folks down the road as the Lord leads. I know Don already works the jail with me as a volunteer. How many Dons are there here? There's only one Don? So we know who I'm talking about. My wife is here with me. My mother's here visiting from Hawaii for a couple weeks. My little son's up in the junior church, I think. He didn't get to go last time. He was too little. But this time he got to go, so I think he's very excited. He loves to go to junior church and draw a picture. So there are three jails here in the county. One little bitty jail out the backside of Mount Diablo called Marsh Creek Detention Facility on Clayton Road. On Marsh Creek Road off Clayton there. The downtown jail, Martinez, is the main jail. And we have a jail out in Richmond behind Hilltop Mall called West County Detention Facility. And that's where our office is located. Harold and I serve as a chaplain for 1,800 inmates and some 200 correctional staff. So sometimes they'll say I'm the pastor of the biggest church in town. That gives me 2,000 members of my church. But thank you, Pastor Bill, sir, for allowing me to come and speak today. One of the things I have to do as a chaplain here in the county is raise support. And amazingly, God has blessed me to have raised all my support for the first time last month, but that's not committed on a regular basis. So if anybody wants to support a Christian church missionary in their county, please help me out. I only have to raise $1,000 a month. It's not very much compared to some missionaries in the field right now raising $6,000 a month and stuff. So if you can help me out, I've got a little flyer back there. You can pick it up. Be happy to, for your support and your consideration. I'm going to bring you a message today. I hope to encourage you. I think I have 23 minutes left. Does that sound fair, Bill? Okay. This is a 45-minute message. Now, when I preached this about a month ago at First Christian Church in Pleasantville, they gave me 12 minutes. So I've got twice as much time. So I'm really excited. This message came up because some of the inmates of the jail asked me a question from this chapter one time. And we read the chapter to try to figure out what the context of the verse was. And we decided this is a beautiful message of encouragement. And I've preached this message many, many times, and we actually had some cool stuff going on today with one of the songs from the message was
played already, at least one that I noticed. I might have gotten lost in my meditation during communion. I didn't hear everything was played on the piano. And we're actually going to have a skit today, I think, to go with it. Hopefully we won't run out of time for our skit. We got three actors, including Zach and two of his buddies, and they're going to jump up when their verse comes to do the little skit. So I've never had that done before. I'm really excited about that. And I made this sheet for you because we can all just read off the same version. I know some churches have different versions, and I made some highlights and italics and underlinings and stuff to emphasize certain points of what I'm going to say. So I hope we can all follow along together. I'm going to try to make it through this whole page in 22 minutes. Does that sound fair? Okay. I can see the clock right there. Zach's got the clock for me. So verse 1 says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Now Jehoshaphat is, of course, the king of the nation of Judah there, after the nation was divided. So he's the king of the Jerusalem in the area. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. Now, if I was really fancy, I could have a PowerPoint presentation with a map on it and show you where all this stuff is located. But let's just press on, because I know you're all Bible scholars there. You already probably know these things. It's already at Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. In other words, the very south part of the Dead Sea, where they're located. And then verse 3 says, alarmed. And that's the word, the inmates love that word. They get all fired up by that word, alarmed, because they deal with alarms a lot. But maybe there was something today was alarming to you, or maybe in the past. There's been some alarming things in our nation of late, and even in our world lately. In fact, in Jeopardy the other day, they said, what happened in March of 2011? I'm going, March of 2011? I couldn't remember. That's when they had that big tsunami and tidal wave and earthquake, and the nuclear plant blew up in Japan. Remember that? It's like all these crazy things are happening, seems like causes alarm in our lives. But Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. A good thing to do when you get alarmed about something. Why not turn to God? And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Now that's what the inmates were asking about. They said, Chaplain Lance, what is a fast? We had to figure it out. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. And it was cool when I came in today to see the place is kind of packed out. I'm excited, Bill, to see your place filled up. It's great. And when you come together on Sunday mornings, is it part of why we come together to seek help from the Lord? I just asked the question. That's for you to decide, I suppose. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, in the temple of the Lord, in front of the new sanctuary, and said... Now here I usually mention, does anybody remember what happened on January 20th, 2009? And everybody never remembers. But I think that's the day that President Barack Obama was inaugurated as a president. And he was there at the Capitol building, and he spoke, and there was a lot of people gathered on the national lawn there, the mall. So if you kind of get that scene in your mind's eye of a leader and a bunch of people gathered up, that's what we're looking at right here. And then he says this prayer, and I have that italicized there, and one of the commentators says that this is the most beautiful prayer in the whole of the Old Testament. Now, you might disagree, but that's what one commentator says. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? Of course, God knows that, doesn't he? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. We know that, don't we? O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of the, did you not drive out the nations, the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And of course, God would say yes. He knows these questions. They have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine. And you could list off, I think, whatever you want there if you're going to pray a prayer like Jehoshaphat does and think in your own mind what kinds of problems you might have in your life. We can make some applications from the text to our lives today is a better way to look at it, I think, than just studying it from a trivial perspective. To make the Bible apply to our own lives is what we ought to be doing here. He says, "We will stand in your presence before the temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us." And maybe some of us today ought to be thinking about that. I'm not sure if everybody's really happy today, everything's going great or not. I would suspect that somebody in the sanctuary here today is having a little bit of trouble in their life. A hurt, a habit, a hang-up, some recent problem, a sickness, a financial difficulty, a marital situation. We go on and on, can't we? With troubles of our lives. Troubles in our world, troubles in our nation, our county, our city, our state, our homes. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And those are going to be our three actors coming up in a little bit here. These three guys. Whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. And the Israeli people are still sitting there today thinking the same thing now. 2,800 years after this is written down or so. 2,900 years about. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. Maybe that's how some of us feel sometimes about troubles of our lives. We don't have any way to deal with the troubles that we have in our lives sometimes. I know that's true for me. I don't know about you. Sorry. But, he says, our eyes are upon you. A good response there. Reminds me of the old song that we sometimes sing in some old churches called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Do you guys ever sing that song? It's a good song. We do not know what to do. You forgot the amen there, but that's the end of his prayer. Have you ever said something like that? I don't know what to do. Sometimes that happens to us, doesn't it? We don't know what to do about our trouble. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Now, I've been underlining certain things you may have noticed. I haven't really mentioned what those are for, but these are actions that are taken on behalf of in this story by certain people of what they did. So here our underline is talk about how they stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon... Now, if we've got any Bible scholars here, forgive me if I pronounce some of these names incorrectly. Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and a descendant of Asaph. Now, there's a bunch of funny words there. Basically, what that adds up to is this guy is a singing prophetic priest. That's what those all those things mean. That's where his ancestors were. They add up to a singing prophetic priest is one thing I wish I was sometimes. As he stood in the assembly, he said, and now, in other words, God's going to tell the people something through this guy, a prophetic word from God, spoken to the people in response to the prayer that the king just made. Are you following along with the story? And it seems like he may have even sung this from what the context is saying to us. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Now, again, I love applying texts to our lives. Do you like doing that? I think it's the only really way we're going to get anything out of the Bible is to apply it to our lives. And so if God's going to say something to the guys here 2,900 years ago, do you think God might say something to us over here today? I think he ought to. I think he wants to. And I hope we hear what he wants to say to us. Do not be afraid or discouraged, God says to Jehoshaphat and the people. And maybe God is still saying to us yet today. It's kind of funny how the news goes nowadays. Things are changing since I was a young man. When I was a young man, like these... preacher candidates here in the next to the back row. We used to read the newspaper. Now, I don't think anybody reads the newspaper hardly anymore. You have to watch the World Wide Web or something, I think, or your smartphone or something. But back in the day, we used to read the news and be aware of what was going on by the newspaper. And there were some disturbing things going on lately in our world. Did you hear about how most people in the country believe our nation's going the wrong direction right now. Kind of a sad thing to think about. People aren't very encouraged about spending a lot of money right now because of the economy. A lot of feelings in our nation right now about things aren't going well. And so maybe we've got to pay attention to what the text is saying to us today and take heart and not be so afraid or discouraged because of our surroundings. Because we're winners, aren't we? We're not losers. We're winners because we're Jesus, aren't we? Because of the vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Another little song there that reminds me of a song that's sung called The Battle Belongs to the Lord. You guys ever sing that song? It's a good one. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz. Kind of a weird little word there. And you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem. I think we already had a testimony this morning up here about some deliverance that God has given to certain members of the congregation. And I know we probably have many more stories around the sanctuary this morning of people who have been delivered of troubles of their life. We're looking forward to some more of those answers, aren't we? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God says through his prophet. Now God's told him twice, didn't he? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Has anybody ever told you something twice? Or do you ever have to tell somebody something twice? I always tell the inmates, my wife has to tell me things two or three times because I'm kind of thick-headed, thick-skulled. I can't get it the first time. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Reminds us of Matthew 28:20. Jesus said, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Joseph had bowed with his face to the ground. Wouldn't that be amazing if we would see more people do that nowadays? To bow with their face to the ground. Maybe I would argue if I was some kind of an important person or a leader right now, I would be falling down with my face to the ground. Because that's how bad I think things are for a lot of people right now. And the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. The good old days, huh? Wouldn't that be amazing if we would come into church on Sunday morning and do that one time? Then some Levites from the Korathites and the Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They're the professional singer guys, I guess. That's what those names mean. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Now remember, the prophet just said a minute ago, twice, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So the king reminds him then for the third time. He's saying again, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Listen to what the prophet just said a minute ago. Now this word successful is where the inmates gave this lesson a name. He called this a recipe for success. That's what he calls this lesson. And that's why if you go through those underlines, think about some things we can do as actions. That's the recipe for success of whatever we're facing in our lives. Whether it be making it to lunch today or whatever it might be. We've all got things we've got to do, troubles we have. We want to be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Wouldn't that be a crazy way to fight a war? You set up the singers in the front. That's what they did in the day. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now, we did sing that song this morning. Same song that's sung here in this setting. As they began to sing and praise the Lord said, oh, where's our actors? Zach, you guys can come down here and do this little skit for us. And his two buddies, they're coming now. I've been wanting to do this little skit now for how many times I've done this lesson. We're finally going to do it today. I'm so excited because I remember when I came here the first time and there was a bunch of high schoolers here and I thought I could get three high school guys. And then it turns out one of them is a preacher's kid, but that's okay. Where were we? As I began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Verse 23. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder, it took them 3 days to collect it. That is a lot of stuff, isn't it? On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Barakah, where they praised the Lord. That's why it's called the Valley of Barakah to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries where they had heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Now let's pick upon me. Let's say I just moved to the area, which I did. I've got a bunch of boxes at my house. I got to find a doctor in my new town. I got to figure out where the dentist is. I got to figure out where the store is. I got to figure out how to get back and forth across the bridge to my job and all these things. I got to figure out where the school my son's going to go to. I've got a lot of stuff that I'm worried about, right? And so I'm praying, God, help me out to get settled into my new home. And God's going to give me, I believe, peace on every side of my life, just like he gave King Jehoshaphat. And now for yourself, you've got stuff swirling around you too, don't you? Your family, your friends, your finances, your work, your school, your church life, whatever it is, your health. God wants to give us that peace on every side of our lives, doesn't he? I think he does. And that this little recipe for success or peace on every side is what we're talking about today. So the first thing to remember is that don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. But march out and face those enemies that are attacking us, right? Keep on praying. Fall down with the faces on the ground, maybe. You know? That's what we ought to do. That was my message for you today. I hope it was a word of encouragement for you. God bless you. Thank you so very much. Should I give a closing prayer? Let's have a prayer. Thank you, Lord God, so much for this little recipe for success, Lord God. We want to be like King Jehoshaphat, Lord God. We want to trust in you, Lord God, for our salvation. We want to trust in you, Lord God, for our peace in every side of our life. We don't want to be afraid or discouraged, Lord God. So give us, Lord God, your peace. Give us your fearlessness. Give us your courage, Lord God, that we can march out, Lord God, and face, even though we don't know what to do, Lord, sometimes, we don't know what to do, we're going to keep our eyes upon you, Lord God. You are our Father. You are our Savior. You are our King. You're the Lord of Lords. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you, Lord God, we can know we're going to heaven. Thank you, Lord God, for our family and our friends, for our church home. We thank you, Lord God, so much for blessing us in so many ways. We love you, Lord, and we trust you, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.